Morning again.
I think I said that every single time. Morning again.
I'm glad to see all of you here this morning and online as well. Thanks for joining us in that fashion. We are going to be in Ruth again today, Ruth 4, verse 13, and we will finish the book today. Ruth 4, verse 13. How's everyone doing?
Marvelous.
Anyone in here ever watch infomercials or the Home Shopping Network? Yeah, we got a hand in the back. Yeah, many people don't admit it. Maybe you're trying to hide the jewelry you bought on there currently. Infomercials. We know these things, right? We see the crazy deals, the crazy products. You always see the amazing prices combined with the fine print of shipping and handling and whatever else they list to charge you with. They always have sayings, right? Do we know this one? But wait, there's more. That's what they say when they're combining deals on these shows. I don't know if you call them shows, but whatever they are that they're selling, I think the newest one is that spray rubber, whatever that is. Fixes boats, fixes everything. Flex Seal. Oh, I can't say that. I just got muted. I'm doing a commercial for them, but it was not one, but two knife sets. I think our knife set is one of those things you see on TV. We've had it for 10 years, 12 years. I don't know. It's a pretty good knife set. Not one, but two cans of spray or rubber. Whatever it is, we've seen this before. We're going to see this kind of vibe in our text today. It's not an infomercial. And it's not cheesy. But we're going to see it in our text this morning. Not one, but two redeemers. We've seen that. And today, this two will turn into four. And we're going to see this in Ruth as we finish together in two parts. Boaz, not the true redeemer. And we have a true redeemer.
Amen.
Ruth chapter 4, verse 13. Let's stand as we read God's word together. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife, and he went into her, and the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Then the women said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a redeemer, and may his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age, for your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is more to you than seven sons, has given birth to him." Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her lap and became his nurse. And the women in the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, "A son has been born to Naomi." They named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now, these are the generations of Perez. Perez fathered Hezron. Hezron fathered Ram. Ram fathered Amminadab. Amminadab fathered Nahshon. Nahshon fathered Salmon. Salmon fathered Boaz. Boaz fathered Obed. Obed fathered Jesse. Jesse fathered David. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for gathering us in this place. We thank you for your Son, Jesus, and we thank you for your Holy Word. Open our hearts and minds now as we dive in together and to see what you have for us today. Be with us now, in Jesus' name. Amen. So last week we looked at the first half of chapter 4 together. We said Boaz headed to the city gates and he took care of his promise of redemption. We said the actual redeemer stepped back when he found the price was too high, and Boaz stepped up because he did not care about the cost. We said we all live our lives in this way. We all weigh the cost of our decisions. We all find moments in our lives when the cost is too much. However, Standing on God's holy word and leading your family well can never cost too much. Sacrifices made for the gospel and for your family are always the right call. Fathers, we saw that this is our call. Are we stepping up to the challenge? This week we'll finish our study in Ruth. We will finish this last chapter and we'll see where the story has been pointing from the very beginning. Let's begin with the true redeemer, Boaz, not the true redeemer. Boaz, not the true redeemer. What do I mean by this? Well, let's first look at where we are in our text. Last week, the redemption happened at the city gates. This week, we turn our attention back to Ruth and Boaz, and we're told of a marriage. We actually see in verse 13, it covers a time of over a year. It covers marriage and childbirth. So they are married and already have a child. Let's turn our attention to what is said by the women in this community. Verse 14, when the women said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a redeemer. May his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life and the nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is more to you than seven sons, has given birth to him." Well, that clears things up, doesn't it? Not really. We've been reading through this story together and waiting for the moment which Ruth and Naomi desperately needed. That moment when the Redeemer stepped in. We thought it was Boaz, then our text said there was another. He was the true Redeemer. Then our text said the true Redeemer wanted no part in redemption, so we were back to Boaz. It was always Boaz, right? Wrong. Our text today reveals another redeemer. Not the closest relative and not the actual relative who stepped up, but rather a future son to be born. We already knew this because one of the most important jobs of the redeemer stepping up is to provide an heir. This heir carries on redemption. This child born is important in many ways. The first is that Boaz has completed the redemption. He has taken in this household and he has provided an heir to continue their heritage, to continue their name. Secondly, Ruth is not barren anymore. A decade with her husband and no child pointing to her not being able to have children. Not being able to have heirs, not being able to continue the family name. Now look at our text. The women call her baby a redeemer. A restorer of life. They called him a nourisher. He is all these things, and maybe more importantly, he has brought Ruth rest. Boaz has put an end to her gleaning, and having a child means she will never have to glean again. Can we see this? Can we feel this? Sometimes it's hard to feel the weight of the words on our pages. We're standing here 3,000 years later. Imagine losing everything. Not just your car, or your house, or your job. Everything. Family included. Not only this, but you're isolated and alone. This is Naomi and Ruth. This is their life before returning to Bethlehem. Then imagine having no way to provide for yourself except for picking up scraps left behind. You do this all day, every day. Think about our summers here, outside all day long, not for money, not to buy things you want, not to buy things you need. It's not for retirement or that dream vacation. It is so you can eat. It is so your mother can eat. That is it. I assume plenty of us in this place can relate to the working hard part of this equation. But not just so you have food. This is what their lives were every day since the return from Moab. This is what their lives will be every day until a redeemer. This is the weight of the story. This is why Boaz and now Obed is so important. They had nothing and now they have everything. Can we see the difference? Now for us, how does the story relate to us? First, we should leave no one in this position. No one should be living like this without a helping hand. This is why we do backpacks. This is why we support the Answer Center and Marsha's Place. This is why we surround one another when a need arises. This is what the church is supposed to be. No one should live like this. Secondly, no matter where you are in life, young or old, working hard or lazy, millionaire or poor, have everything you ever dreamed of or barely meeting your needs. It doesn't matter where you are. Just like Ruth and just like Naomi, you have nothing until you are redeemed.
Amen.
What do I mean? We just covered a psalm this past Wednesday. Its entire purpose was to point us to the fact that no one escapes death. Psalm 49, verse 12. Man in his pomp, pomp being his things, his possessions, his arrogance, his boastfulness. Man in his pomp will not remain. He is like the beasts that perish. Meaning, just like animals, we all die. No one escapes death, and no one takes anything with them. We all have a day numbered, and on that day, your retirement account will be no use to you. Your house and car and all other things will be no use. Death and then eternity. The only thing that will be of use to you is whether or not you have been redeemed.
Amen.
What do I mean? 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So that as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. Belief in this man, Jesus the Son of God, means you are seen as righteous, sanctified, and redeemed. You're seen as these things because of Jesus, and you must be these things to go to the Father in heaven. You must be covered by his righteousness to see heaven. You must have the Spirit inside of you sanctifying you. You must be redeemed. All other ways mean you have run from your redemption. He is the truth and the life and the only way to the Father. Hear me clearly. It is not tithing. It's not church attendance or baptism that offers redemption. All these things come after redemption and reveal your redemption. But belief in Jesus is the only way. He is the true redeemer. Have you been redeemed? Let's move on in our text. We have a true redeemer. We were just looking at this true redeemer. This is actually the fourth redeemer in our text. How does our text point to him? It points to him through Boaz as he stepped up and was worthy and was an example of a greater redeemer to come. It also points to him in our remaining verses. First, let's look at Naomi. Ruth was without child, which means Naomi was without grandchild. Remember, she was empty, is what we were told. She lost everything. Now she has a grandson on her lap. You guys remember the first time you held your child or your grandchild? Do you remember that moment? That feeling? I remember it. How do you love something so much you've never met? And what have I got myself into? Remember that moment. You think Naomi still feels empty? She's called his nurse, which means she is his caregiver. He is the future redeemer of this family, and yet he needs them. That's interesting. Secondly, who named this child? Ruth? Boaz? Naomi? No. The women of the neighborhood is what the text says. Any of you let someone not in your family name your child? Probably not. The neighborhood names this child Obed, which means servant of God. This naming by this group outside the family is significant. It points to something special going on here. This is interesting. Next we have his genealogy. Obed, Jesse, and David. This is expanded in our final couple of verses to include Perez. Expanded to show part of the past and part of the future. It's a weird genealogy. Why wouldn't it go back to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? That's where the genealogies go. Some of them go to Adam and Eve. It's because this is not the connection it is making. We go back to Perez to connect to this unorthodox marriage. Remember, Perez, fathered by Judah, and Judah's daughter-in-law. Salmon is on this list. He fathered Boaz. Do we know who Salmon's wife was? Rahab. Yes, that Rahab. The prostitute. She helped Israel take the promised land, but she was indeed a foreign prostitute. Boaz's family tree was not surprised by the unorthodox. This may be why a foreign barren widow had no effect on his decision. His God has been using the unorthodox in his family for generations. This, however, is not the main point of this list. The main point of this list is to point to David and David's line. This is how we can tell this story. Although taking place in the time of Judges is written down sometime after David becomes king. The writer cannot point to David if David does not exist. So this story is meant to draw us here. Why? Let's put it all together. A son and future redeemer born to a woman in a town of Bethlehem. This future redeemer is given a name of significance by someone outside of the family. This son will be a redeemer but still needs to be raised, still needs to grow. Will be greater but currently depends on them. This future redeemer is from the line of David. Are we getting there yet? Yeah. Are we connecting the dots? Luke 2, verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. There's a redeemer born in Bethlehem. Luke 1, verse 30. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. And you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of David, his father. There's someone naming the child, not from the family. It's an angel. And this name is Jesus, and it'll be above every name, and he will sit on David's throne. Luke 2, verse 51, and when he went down with him, he came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. There it is. God became flesh and dwelt among us and was found teaching in the temple. Remember, the parents lost him, returned to the temple. He's teaching in the temple as a young boy. Then he returns to his home and is submissive and grows and learns. Forget about the part that God had to grow and learn, revealing himself to be truly a man. What about the submissive part? My kids can't find their shoes right in front of them. Cannot clean their rooms unless you force them. Parents' lives for most of their child's life when they're young feels like they're just trying to keep them alive. Well, little Johnny almost died twice today. Only twice. We're getting better at this thing. How about the God who created all things and holds all things together is now in human form and perfectly submissive to the parents that he created? Think about that one. Isaiah 11, verse 1. There shall come forth a shoot from the the stump of Jesse. And a branch from his root shall bear fruit. This is good. We should know who Jesse is. He's in our text. Paul points to this passage in Isaiah from Romans when he tells us who Jesus is. Jesse is David's father. It was said that the King David was going to have an heir on the throne forever. Solomon was believed to be that heir, the wisest man to ever live, and ushering in peace across the land until he fell short. It was then that people started to wonder, if not David, if not Solomon, then who? Then a few hundred years later, Isaiah writes of this shoot from Jesse. This carried with it a hope of a new king, a hope of a forever reign to come. Paul writes in Romans to tell everyone that this forever king is Jesus. This redeemer heir to come has come in the form of God's Son. Do we see the correlation? Do we see why the book of Ruth was written? Why these events were told? This book bridges God's people from Judges to the time of the king. This book bridges God's people from a time of suffering to a time of peace. The book bridges God's people from a Redeemer who saved His people and brought about King David to a Redeemer who would offer salvation to all of mankind. God's perfect love on display in this book. God's perfect love. God's perfect patience on display in this book. God's perfect sovereignty on display in this book. So that all could read it and believe. This book shows us that redemption can be had, and it propels us to the cross so we can have it. Do we have this redemption? Do we call Jesus our Lord and Savior and Redeemer? As we wrap up this morning, let's look back at what we've seen from Ruth. Impossible suffering while sojourning during a famine, only to be brought back home. We all suffer, and all who believe are sojourners here with the promise of one day returning home. Once returned, Naomi and Ruth were at the mercy of the community, taking care of them. No family tree, no heirs, no hope. Then comes Boaz. Ruth's kindness and mercy and boldness propels this redemption forward. One redeemer not willing to pay the price, and the other would give everything. We too have no hope and no future without our Redeemer. God so loved the world that He sent His only Son, so that anyone who believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. Hear the words, will not perish, that's hell. Have eternal life, that's heaven. This means heaven instead of hell. This means hope and mercy where once there was none. This means all who believe, all who have faith in Jesus, have been redeemed. Yeah. We also saw that just like the heir born to Ruth and Boaz, meant their inheritance and their redemption would continue, this heir born would also lead to the line of David and continue on to the Son of God, Jesus Christ, so that all believers may have redemption. It was not an heir for this family alone, but an heir for the whole world. The book of Ruth, written 1,000 years before Jesus, and yet pointing to Him at every turn. We have learned that God works in all things, even when we cannot see it. Ruth and Naomi could not see it. David had glimpses, but could not see clearly. The disciples by Jesus' side during His entire ministry could not see clearly what was coming, could not see the good in what was transpiring before their eyes. Just like every one of these people, we too do not understand what God is doing. Amen. That's okay. What we must understand is the fact that God is the one who is doing it. He is in control. He moves all things. Whatever it is in your life, He has His hands on it. Trust in Him, the one who sent His Son for you. We'll see you through. As we wind down this morning, our question is this: do we believe? It's a simple question with enormous implications. Just like we see in the book of Ruth, we are all walking out a story. Just like Ruth and Naomi, we're walking out a story. And just like in the book of Ruth, we are all lost apart from the Redeemer. To be redeemed is to have the payment for your sins. To be redeemed is to have the promise of heaven. Without redemption means lost in sin. Without redemption means hell for eternity. This is what is at stake when we answer this question: do we believe? Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. You will be redeemed. God's family becomes your family. God's home becomes your home. Sojourning here with the promise of heaven to come. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. That was every one of us. He was also the good shepherd that leaves the 99 for the one, and you may be that one. He died for you. He defeated the grave for you. Do you believe? As we sing and pray, let's bring our heavy hearts and our joyous good news. Let's bring our decisions that we need to make and the plans that have fallen through. Let's pray for our VBS together. Whatever it is on your heart, bring it to your Heavenly Father as we sing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you again for this morning together. We thank you that we have so many blessings and gifts in our life. Father, help us lean into these blessings and gifts. Father, help us lean into your holy word. Help us seek guidance on your pages. That is where you speak to us, Father. Help us see these words and hear these words and understand these words and apply them to our lives today. Every one of us leaving this place have a story we are walking out, just like Ruth and Naomi. Father, help us realize that whatever walk we're on, you are there. Help us lean into you. Help us have the courage to reach out for others to lean into you. This is the gospel message. Jesus is your Son, and He died to save us. But not just us alone. Everyone out there we meet needs this message. In Jesus' name.